Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
One thing that I haven't touched on is that President Trump did approved the funding request for the tornadoes here in St. Louis. I think it's less money than was requested.
We're going to give out less money. We're going to give it out directly. It'll be from the president's office. We'll have somebody here. Could be Homeland Security, but we're going to give it out through a method where it's given out. As an example, I just gave out $71 million to a certain state. They were looking to do about 120. They were very happy with the $71 million. We did a little cutting, and they were very happy with it.
So he's talking about Missouri, but keep in mind the original ask in the bill that was going through Jeff City was $25 million. A lot of the Democrats, and I think maybe even the Republicans for this area, from this area, said, look, it needs to be more than that. In the bill that is headed toward Governor Kehoe's desk, it's not final yet. That number is $100 million. So if you combine those numbers, it's a pretty hefty pay increase, or not pay increase, but money increase for tornado relief. The problem that I have, and I'm fine with helping people who need help, is how do you keep track of that amount of money? How do you really make sure that the people who need the money are getting the money? All right, let's go to Los Angeles. And the hyperventilating that's going on right now by elected officials in particular, the usual suspects like Maxine Waters.
What are you going to do? You going to shoot some kid who's afraid of doing what? You going to shoot an elected official? If you shoot me, you better shoot straight. I don't know why you're in my city. You did the governor was not contacted. This is Trump and his outrageous attempt to not only target our sanctuary city, but to frighten us and intimidate us.
Yeah, well, the problem is that you kind of summed it up there. You're a sanctuary city. You brought this on your own because you welcome gangbangers and criminal elements into the community, Maxine Waters.
This is Trump and his outrageous attempt to not only target our sanctuary city, but to frighten us and intimidate us.
And there's Gavin Newsom. You know, it's funny because Gavin has sort of drifted. Oh, and I mentioned this tweet. Wait till you hear the next segment, because I have an interesting tweet that's related to all the gender nonsense. And Gavin Newsom seemed like he was kind of crossing over into sanity, but not here.
I've got 100 now. I have 175 CHP officers, technically trained officers, tactical teams, to address Donald Trump's mess. It's wrong. And we're calling for the President of the United States to rescind his order so that he can clean up his own mess.
Then there's the ladies on The View. What would you expect from them?
Trump is militarizing that state as a test run, to make sure that he can do it in places like New York, that he can do it in other sanctuary cities. And so there is a plan to this, in my view. Mm-hmm. And I really think that there's no question that the LAPD, that has 9,000 police officers, could have handled this quite well.
Okay, well, that's their narrative. But one thing that's always missing, well, there's two things. One is they never address the illegal aspect,
the criminal.
I'll take it a step further. The criminal illegal aspect of this. They also never seem to address the safety issue. And let's face it, they have cheered on rioting in the streets. They really have. They've encouraged it. They did it during Ferguson here in St. Louis. They did it after George Floyd. They do it all the time. Their empathy as Democrats, and I don't really understand it, I guess it's in their DNA, is to never address the reality of what crime victims go through, of what, let's say, shop owners who in LA got looted last night. Are they not victims in all of this? It's Trump's fault. Everything is Trump's fault. When you have burning buildings and burning cars, that's just because Trump takes a stand on something. So former Yuma Sector Border Patrol Chief Chris Klemm is back with us here. He recently completed his 100-day commitment to serve as a special advisor to RFK Jr. at HAS and HHS, rather. Chris, how are you? Welcome back. It's another interesting week, isn't it?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And my gosh, it is, especially with the Democrats, it never ends, right? That Maxine Waters, I mean, that is a poster child for term limits and just idiocracy that's on the left. I mean, there is never a camera or a lie that she's not willing to tell, and it's despicable. And to top it off, she's, you know, you got the governor there. I watched him on MSNBC on Sunday, and it was a cringeworthy at best. I mean, he's in his emergency operations center. Nobody's in there but him and the cameraman, and all they're showing is video screens of police cars on fire, yet he's saying this is somebody else's problem. It is a long time coming. It is self-inflicted wounds by the progressive, extreme left wing of the Democratic Party that has filtered into the majority of that Democratic Party. And we knew this was going to happen because, like you mentioned, there's not a protest or a grievance that they're not willing to take violence to get their point across, and it's harming their cause, it's harming the communities, and it's really damaging them further along with the American people. Because I can tell you, everybody I talk to, and I'm actually in the state of Michigan right now, and they're just shaking their heads like, I can't believe that this is going on in L.A. Like, these people are nuts.
Well, and you also know, and I think that it's accurate to say, that a lot of this are the usual suspects. They're the people who came here, Soros-funded, to St. Louis on multiple occasions, went to Minneapolis. Then people get all caught up in this. Here's an L.A. County sheriff that says, look, Gavin Newsom.
Governor Newsom needs to put his phone down, go sit in his house behind the comfort of his TV screen and a couch, and be quiet, because he is doing nothing but fueling this process. He needs to stay out of the way of law enforcement. He knows nothing about this. He knows absolutely nothing about the enforcement of law. He despises the enforcement of law.
You know, Chris, maybe I'm wrong here, but I haven't heard any audio from Karen Bass, the mayor of L.A., who, by the way, is an empathizer with Fidel Castro. I mean, I'm just going to call it like I see. She's a Marxist. Right? She's a communist. But outside of that, which we kind of know Gavin Newsom is too, why wouldn't they, for just one moment, in part of the conversations they have with the legacy media, and the legacy media is at blame here too, why wouldn't they say, all right, we've got a dangerous situation here that is created by criminal migrants who may rape and murder and gangbang and do whatever they're going to do. They looted last night. Maybe we should get control of that. Now, their narrative right now is, oh, we had plenty of resources to do that. Well, apparently it didn't, right, after what we saw on Sunday in particular.
Well, if they did that, then they would be ruining their narrative, right? Because this is what they want. They want the chaos so they can blame. Their whole agenda is blaming others. They respond with their reptilian brain and emotions, not solutions and facts. That's the difference between what is happening out of this administration and what's happening in California, specifically Newsom's office and Bass's office. You know, you kind of were getting to the point that this is the usual suspects. Think about this. It was a week ago or more when the neighborhood in San Diego came out with their cell phones and was, you know, yelling at ICE for doing targeted enforcement operations on criminal aliens. And then it was Friday. I talked to a bishop in L.A. County this morning. There were 21 hotspots where things were flaring up with people protesting, turning into riots before President Trump even mentioned anything on Saturday. So for Newsom to act like they got this under control, why was it over two hours before LAPD responded for assistance by federal agents who were under attack by those? We've all seen the video. Those aren't pebbles. Those aren't decorative rocks. Those are chunks of concrete. And I can tell you, I've seen it firsthand when our agents get pummeled with chunks of concrete off the border wall, through their car windows. That is assault on a federal agent. And I think if I read the headlines earlier today, they found that guy in the motorcycle helmet that was throwing rocks and those chunks of concrete at those cars. Look, this is absolutely ridiculous. I cannot emphasize enough that this administration is doing the right thing in sending as much weight of the federal government to LA to calm this down. And you know what? This is exactly funded. It's gone beyond a simple immigration protest to this is assaulted behavior. You see everything playing out in real time, and we've got to end it. I agree that it should never have gotten to this, but I also agree that the president has an obligation to protect its citizens, whether the mayor or whether the governor wants it or not. I applaud the administration for stepping up, and, you know, I wish we weren't there. I really do. I wish we've been talking about this on this show and everywhere else. This is what happens when you have sanctuary policies and you have state bills like SB 54 that prohibit the state from working with federal immigration authorities. This is a problem in California. And you know what? We'll make them an example, I guess.
To your point, here's what Pam Bondi said. I don't know if it's the guy who was, you know, trying to throw the bricks, but they did identify one person.
That guy has just been identified, and they are doing a search warrant on his house as we speak. So you can run. You can't hide. We are coming after you federally. If you assault a police officer, if you rob a store, if you loot, if you spit on a police officer, we're coming after you.
So, and they should come after him. What is your opinion? One of the questions I wanted to get into with you, I heard a pretty lengthy discussion last week, even on Fox, about the ICE agents having masks on. And some people are saying, look, why are they wearing masks? What is your position on that? To me, it seems a little odd that they're not showing their faces. Now, I know that part of it is because they're worried about being identified, being doxxed, and then having retribution against them.
Yeah, I mean, that is unfortunately the reality of today's world. I mean, you see it out there playing out on social media. I was just going through Facebook feeds and see people posting things about doxing every ICE agent out there. Part of it also has to do with they're using the full weight of ICE, which is Homeland Security investigations, as well as their enforcement removal operations. Those investigators are sometimes special agents that are sometimes undercover. They're doing investigations and things like that. So they are wearing those, because normally they're going to be in plain clothes and they're going to be, you know, you're not supposed to be able to find them because they're doing undercover investigations. So that's part of it, because they want to protect their identity from the criminals. And we know that, look, this isn't just a simple illegal alien being arrested. These are people that are part of foreign terrorist organizations. They're part of, you know, the cartel network. And we know that places like California, they're embedded. They have contacts with those type of organizations, and so yeah, they need to protect themselves. I agree. It's not normal. We don't do that typically, but in a situation like this, where they are going after criminals who are part of terrorist organizations and cartels, you know what? They got to protect themselves and they got to protect their families, and so, you know, that's going to happen. I mean, routine patrol, like by our Border Patrol agents, they're not doing that. But when we have our undercover agents that are going out in uniform to be part of these bigger operations, yeah, I think it's par for the course for them to do some concealment. Look, the uniform gives the badge, the name, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, they're not doing anything illegal. But yeah, it can be odd, and obviously the left is going to spin that as, you know, like, you know, I are here. Oh, they're not really even officers. They're part of the Proud Boys and all that kind of nonsense. No, these are just undercover agents, most of them, that are actually been stepped up into uniform to do the job right now.
Chris Klemm is our guest tonight. He used to be a Border Patrol chief, worked in the administration also for 100 days before kind of going back to what you do in your normal life. So there's a story a couple of days ago in our local paper, and it says immigrant arrests rise in St. Louis, definitely an uptick. Now, they never use, Chris, as you know, the word illegal. They never really address the fact that people are here and already sometimes have deportation orders. So they pull at the heartstrings. They say, look, look, some of this is very emotional. I know there's human elements to it. They talk about a guy who had a father that had never missed a check-in. It was an immigrant from Honduras. I've been to Honduras. I've been on a mountaintop in Honduras where they don't have running water, electricity, and certainly they want a better life. But there are things that happen, and you know this. People cross the border. They're not supposed to be here. Maybe or maybe not. They have check-ins with ICE or with immigration officials. But in many cases, they have deportation orders that are standing in place, and they just have not been sent back. So when it comes to the pulling of the heartstrings, sometimes there's kids involved, things along those lines. How would you address that? Because the media coverage never really focuses in on the specific reasons or the crimes that somebody might have committed to lead to the deportation.
Yeah, so first of all, as we know, we'll start with the basics. You know, you enter the country illegally, that's a crime. That's all we have to do on the administrative removal. I don't need a criminal warrant, anything like that. We can effect a removal. You get a chance to get in front of the judge. The judge affects the removal. We execute the removal and you're out. If you fail to remove, then you become, you know, that's a warrant. We call that a bag and baggage. You have an order of removal, which means you don't really get that appeal right. You got to go. And so there's a lot of that out there. But what I would also say is take this back to the legacy media, really under Obama's first term, maybe second term, with Associated Press started changing the word, not using the word illegal, not using the word alien, all that kind of stuff. So this kind of goes back into that emotional game, right? The law still refers to them as illegal aliens, but when the legacy media stop calling them illegal aliens, or you know, using that term illegal and classifying them all as immigrants, it starts changing that narrative, and that's what you have today. Today's press, today's generation that's now, you know, alert to things, only sees this as immigration or immigrants, not the illegal part of it, which is what ICE is doing. And I know what has been made public. Every one of those targeted arrests that they made over the last few days and few weeks in L.A. have all had orders of removal, or there are prior criminal aliens with misdemeanor crimes on top of the illegal alien or legal entry or felony. So this is not, you know, there
it's
are
not
some
random,
collateral.
Right.
Yeah, they're not random. There's going to be some collateral. You're at the wrong. If all you did was cross illegally and you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, things are going to happen. But the reality is, the way you tell people is like, look, there are opportunities to get right. And if you haven't done it and you have a criminal history beyond your illegal entry, this is who they're coming after.
Well, and also beyond that, if you had people in this country that are U.S. citizens, no matter what color they are, and they've evaded law enforcement because of warrants that could be from felonies or whatever the crime might be, are you removed from your children? Yeah, you're going to be, right?
Yeah. This happens every day. While we're on the phone, unfortunately, somebody is getting pulled over for DUI that has a child with them, you know, and that child is going to be taken away from them and put in into custody of someplace else. This kind of stuff happens every day. If you and I rob a bank and our kids are with us, they don't excuse us for
right,
that.
Exactly.
And at the same time, too, and the last point I'll make on that with the families, if you are here illegally and you have U.S. citizen children and you have done nothing to make yourself whole for the betterment of your family, and let me tell you something, under Obama, under Biden, and even probably under Trump 45, if you would have shown up at an immigration office and said, hey, all I've done is cross illegally, you had a pretty good chance of you were not going to get deported. You were going to be put into a process to where you have a bite at the apple, especially if you've done everything right and you're married to
right.
a U.S. citizen.
Right.
But they haven't done that. They've continued to evade authorities. And then now we're going to
consequences now. Yeah,
it's consequences
exactly.
now, you know.
Chris,
so.
Always great to have you on. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I hope it's cooler in Michigan than it is here in St. Louis, by the way.
There you go. I appreciate it, Mark. Always.
Take care. Oh, we have a response from Simone Biles. With the Riley Gaines situation.
Oh,
yes, we do. It's very interesting. Coming up next, Batya Ungar Sargon at the bottom of the hour.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, things are moving very quickly on the show. Batyangar Sargon's coming up in the next segment to talk about Trump and Elon and some things related to L.A. in particular. You know, Sue, it's interesting. Not a minute, well, maybe this is a little exaggeration, but certainly not an hour goes by without another rally that is being called for. So there's a guy that I really like on Twitter. His name is Jason Rivera. I honestly don't even know if this is his real name. I've tried to get him on the air, and he doesn't seem interested in that. He retweets some of my things and vice versa. He's a St. Louis guy. He talks a lot about the crime issue in St. Louis, but he keeps posting things about these rallies. So I mentioned tomorrow there's supposed to be one on Wednesday over the Tam Avenue Bridge on 6440. And this is one that's for this Friday, and it says anti-colonial rally. Solidarity with the anti-colonial struggle from North St. Louis to occupied Mexico, Friday, June 13th, 5:30 to 6:30, Tower Grove Park. So, I, you know, these things, and then the 14th, which is Saturday, these nationwide protests, I don't know how the cops are going to keep up with them. Now, it's one thing if you want to go out there and march and have your signs and stuff like that. But what we've learned here over the course of more than a decade is that that's not how things go down, right? People can get hurt. It can get violent. They shut down highways. So we'll see what happens with that. Yesterday, you might remember Riley Gaines and Simone Biles got into it on Friday night. Riley talked about it.
Yesterday, Simone Biles, the Olympic gymnast, the best of the best, bar none. There is no one else even remotely in her league in women's gymnastics. I guess in an attempt to be inclusive and virtuous, decided to sell out all women and girls who have dreams to achieve and to succeed, and to specifically, personally attack and body shame me. She tweeted this out of the blue, like this came out of nowhere, and she said, Riley, me, you're truly sick, all of this campaigning because you lost a race. First of all, if she's insinuating I lost to a man, I've lost several races in my career, duh, that's part of being an athlete, but if she's saying I lost to a man, that's factually incorrect. We tied, besides the point.
That's an interesting note. Now I want to play one more cut because Simone Biles has responded with a lengthy response, but a little bit more about how all this went down on Friday.
Straight up sore loser. You should be uplifting the trans community and perhaps finding a way to make sports inclusive or creating a new avenue where trans feel safe in sports. Let me get something straight. It's my job. It's the women's job. This is what Simone Biles is saying. It's the women's job to find a way for the men's feelings to be validated, for their identity to be affirmed. That's not my job, actually, at all. So to say I should be doing this is insane. If she wants to use her platform to uplift men and women's sports, then by all means, but it's certainly not my job, and I don't believe it's the job of any woman to do this.
So Riley's video on that went pretty viral too, but now we have a reaction from Simone Biles just today where she says, I wanted to follow up from my last tweets. I've always believed competitive equity and inclusivity are both essential in sport. The current system doesn't adequately balance these important principles, which often leads to frustration and heated exchanges. And it didn't help for me to get personal with Riley, which I apologize for. These are sensitive, complicated issues that I truly don't have the answers or solutions to, but I believe it starts with empathy and respect. I was not advocating for policies that compromise fairness in women's sports.
Sounds like it were.
My objection is to be singling out children for public scrutiny in ways that feel personal and harmful. Individual athletes, especially kids, should never be the focus of criticism of a flawed system they have no control over. I believe sports organizations have a responsibility to come up with rules supporting inclusion while maintaining fair competition. We all want a future for sport that is fair, inclusive, and respectful. XOXO. She doesn't say XXXY. Interesting, Simone. Now, that's fine, and I think that Riley will probably respond to that, and I appreciate the apology, but what do you do? I mean, even Simone Biles said, do you have a separate category for trans athletes? That's not realistic.
No.
It's pretty simple. If you are a biological male, you should not be competing against women.
Yes.
It doesn't really have to be any complicated than that. Well, okay, you're excluding my kid because my daughter has a penis. Okay, yeah, we are.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but there's going to have to be things like that happen. I don't know. You know, I get her position. Sounds like she did have some second thoughts about the battle with Riley, but that's fascinating. We'll see what happens with that next. Bachyangar Sargon is coming up next, plus an audio cut of the day.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So Sue and I have talked about this. Usually on the weekends, I kind of get away from the news and I try not to pay attention. This was not one of those weekends because not only was the Riley Gaines and Simone Biles feud pretty hot and heavy on Friday night, on Saturday, I noticed a really, really good piece. It might have been Sunday morning from Bachyangar Sargon, who's a regular here on the show. And it, I think, better than anything, explained the Elon Trump bromance crashing and burning. And she's with us tonight. How are you, Batya? Thanks for jumping on here with me. That was a great piece and really answered a lot of questions, I think, that people had about why that happened and when it happened.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. Thank you for your kind words. It's so funny because, like, over the past few years, I've gotten a lot of, let's say, anger from the right when I criticize Elon Musk or point out certain things about him that make him a very odd bedfellow for the MAGA movement, or the ways in which, you know, the tech bro rights interests are not only not aligned with those of MAGA, but actually at cross purposes. So it was very gratifying to suddenly have people saying, oh, maybe this under Sargon woman is onto something.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us knew going in that things probably would not end well. But there's really a complicated web of reasons that you highlighted. And some of it was, you know, using sources that the New York Times had or Axios, because it wasn't just that, you know, the EV mandate was at play or that they weren't getting along or whatever the fact may be. There was a security briefing that involved China. There were other things, if you believe the reporting, that kind of played into this. And to a certain extent, it really pissed off President Trump, didn't it?
You know, it's interesting. So, the moments that were reported out were the New York Times reported, and then, you know, I heard this, you know, from sources as well. But, you know, the president's view of Elon Musk really started to shift after Musk tried to basically sneak into a meeting at the Pentagon that had a PowerPoint presentation about war plans with China, if God forbid it came to that. And when President Trump heard that Musk was planning to attend this meeting, he actually, you know, used the F word. He said, what the F is Elon doing there? Make sure he does not go. He has business interests in China. So the president was very aware of the potential conflict of interest. And, he used to say a lot about Elon Musk when they were at the height of their closeness. Elon has never asked me for anything. And I think that was the first moment where the president sort of thought, well, maybe he is trying to get something out of this relationship. And those conflicts started to pile up. So Musk was very insistent that the FAA use Starlink, which, you know, obviously there's no problem with Starlink putting in its name as a bid for that contract. But the idea that that relationship would be established due to Elon Musk's proximity to power, that's not good. That is literally the definition of a conflict of interest. He then tried to undermine the deal that the president was pushing in Abu Dhabi between Sam Altman's OpenAI company and the UAE to establish the biggest AI factory outside of the United States. And Elon Musk was privately telling the UAE, this deal will never go through if you don't include my AI company, his AI company being XAI, which is much less popular than OpenAI, which he had actually started with Sam Altman before this feud between them began. So he started really trying to undermine things. There was reporting that he was on drugs. The president, you know, is very, very grossed out by alcoholism and drug use and so forth. And I think all of these things really piled up to make the president realize that these potential conflicts of interest were actually, like, significant. And so he sort of started to hold Elon Musk at arm's length and then decided not to renew his, not really contract, but appointment. And then Elon Musk got very angry about that. And that's when he started lashing out.
So you had, there was definitely a buildup because we saw CBS was doing this interview with Musk. They leaked one of the clips, but you did have this kind of chummy Oval Office send off where Elon was saying nice things, but then it got really nasty. And Trump is sitting with the German chancellor. I think this was on Thursday, right? And he was being, you know, I said at the time, it's kind of ironic because we used to criticize Trump, and I certainly did, for being sophomoric and not being, the word is presidential. A lot of people said, we don't want presidential. We want things to get done. And by the way, I completely understand that. But when he sat there and he was asked questions about Elon, I thought he was pretty, you know, pretty responsible with his responses, if that makes any sense. But by that afternoon, Elon's up there and this got nasty. There were people saying, they know what they're doing. They're just doing this so Elon can get in good graces with the left. But he essentially called for his impeachment. He starts making the Jeffrey Epstein, acknowledgments, or at least just kind of trying to connect the two. So it got really, really ugly. But then it kind of stopped too, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, the president really has been, you know, since the explosion, quite contained in his response to Musk, very uncharacteristically. And my take about that is that he feels sorry for Elon Musk. I think that, I mean, to me, that Oval Office scene where the president was sending him off and he was sitting behind his desk and Elon Musk was standing there with a black eye, he couldn't stand still. I mean, to me, like, he looked like a tweaker, Mark. I don't know. Like, it was so unbecoming and sad. And I you could really see, I think, the president, like, kind of keeping his distance. And so from my point of view, like, it seems to me like Trump just feels sorry for him at this point. But there's no going back. Like, you don't, when somebody calls you a pedophile, I cannot believe that Elon Musk did that, that he, you know, was so, and honestly, again, suggests that he's not, like, it, you know, in full capacity of his faculties. And I think that he regretted it almost immediately because he deleted all of those tweets.
Oh, I didn't know that. He had, like, deleted some of those?
He deleted the Epstein tweets. But, you know, he really has been trying to have it both ways, like masquerade as this free speech person and, you know, this America first person, when at the end of the day, his paymaster is China. He's totally indebted to the CCP. His entire supply chain is there. He wants more H-1B visas. He called American workers a slur, which I will not repeat, because he prefers foreign workers, and he hates tariffs. So on foreign policy, on domestic policy, and on immigration, he is completely at odds with the MAGA movement and with President Trump's agenda. And so I think it really was, I think Trump really felt grateful for the money, and he wanted to give him something to do to feel important. And then when it also, though, again, it turned out that he was kind of lying about Doge and how many cuts they were finding. There was a fight with Scott Bessent where he basically, they almost came to blows. And I think at that moment, it was really over for him.
I thought I saw, and I'm looking at his feed right now, a lot of it right now is just about Teslas, which that's obviously maybe one of the reasons he got back and doing this, because his company was losing money. But it appeared to me when I looked at the strings yesterday that he was somewhat supporting the crackdown on illegal migrants in Los Angeles. Was that not the case, or do you know?
Yes. He did do that. Yes, he retweeted the vice president, J.D. Vance, you know, in a positive way with two American flag emojis. Like, it feels like he's trying to, like, subtly signal that he wants back into the president's good graces. But, you know, I don't think that that's likely to happen very soon.
No.
Like, he, from his point of view, you know, I think the feud is over, but I think the president was really let down.
Okay, I know you, and it's very difficult to remove all of the other things that fall under this umbrella, but let me just focus on the one thing that there are people maybe on the right that are still upset about, and that's the big, beautiful bill. Because what kind of got this going was he tweeted a week ago, I think it was maybe a week ago today, "I'm sorry, but I just can't stand it anymore. This massive, outrageous, pork-filled congressional spending bill is a disgusting abomination. Shame on those who voted for it. You know you did wrong. You know it." So he was really pissed off about that. My position has been, look, I think on that, I get Rand Paul. I get Senator Johnson right now. I understand fiscal responsibility. I'm also frustrated that they won't be honest about the entitlements, et cetera. But there's a practicality to the process, sadly, in Washington. And then there's your emotion saying, wait a second, why can't you cut all this spending? Two things can be true at the same time, I suppose, is what I'm saying.
First of all, I think the OMB has already admitted that they estimate that the tariffs will bring in around $3 trillion in the next 10 years. And yet they did not include that in their estimate of how much this budget will raise the budget. So that's something I really don't understand. Why were they allowed to just get away with that? Like, why is everybody just taking for granted that it will be raising the deficit when we're not actually taking into account the revenue that's being generated right now, billions of dollars every day from these tariffs, which, by the way, the world is suddenly, like, very grateful to be paying because it came down from 50% to 10%. So from that point of view, I think, you know, like, we really need to be thinking long and hard about whether to be taking these estimates seriously. Second point would be, you know, there's a great way to generate more revenue. It's unbelievably popular with vast majorities of Republican, Democrat, and independent voters, and it is to raise taxes on the wealthiest Americans. They will not notice their tax going up from 37% to 39%. They just will not. And the idea that this should be the last thing the Republicans hang on to, when every other thing they've realized that they are the party of the working men and women of this country. Like, I just think this is such a waste of time. Raise the taxes, generate that revenue. We've got the tariffs coming in. I just don't understand why that's not the go-to move. The truth is, Mark, there is some fraud in the entitlements programs, but there's a lot less than anybody wants to admit on the right. I mean, get rid of all that, all the fraud, all the waste, all the abuse, get rid of it. Kick those 2 million able-bodied men off of Medicare unless they want to work. I totally support all of that, but it's just not going to add up to that much. There's a lot of people in this country who are not defrauding the system and need to be on those entitlement programs. And the party that's the party of the working class should acknowledge that.
Yeah, and they should acknowledge that, you know, these entitlements need to be reformed so there's enough for the rest of the Americans and, like, my daughter and grandchild in the future. By the way, you also were on, I just got to close with this because, man, the Megyn Kelly, Jake Tapper podcast, and you were a part of that same podcast. That was quite something, wasn't it?
That was really quite something, yes. Yeah, I mean, it's insane. It's just that whole book was basically an alibi for the Democratic Party and the leftist elites because it blames like 5 people for the lie that the people telling us to blame those 5 people were actually perpetrating. Like, the whole thing was just ridiculous. Yeah.
Megan did a great job, though, and you've been doing a great job calling some of this out. Bacha, always great to have you on. I really appreciate it. You have a great week, okay?
God bless, Mark. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, take care. Audio cut of the day closes out the show. Coming up. Sue, I don't know if you remember, we have a guy, he's like my Kansas City correspondent, Alex Gold, with one of our sister stations.
Oh, yeah,
in KC.
Yeah.
Like, we talk, sometimes we talk sports, sometimes we talk about the sports wagering issue, but now you got this stadium bill that's part of the special session. You know what's frustrating? I don't even know if I told you this. Alex was in our building doing a show last week.
What?
And I walked by one of the studios, and he was heading over to Busch Stadium because of the Cardinals playing the Royals. Said, hey, are you Mark Reardon? I'm Alex Gold. Great-looking, tall kid. And I'm like, why did you tell me you were in town? We would have loved to have had you on. But he's going to be on tomorrow to talk about the stadium bill and maybe put a Kansas City spin on it, if you will.
Interesting.
So that's coming up tomorrow afternoon.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
You know, here's something else. So we've talked about this Thomas Crooks kid who tried to kill the president last year in Pennsylvania. And we've said, why don't we know more about
this guy,
right? So a couple of days ago, now I haven't read the whole piece. The New York Times did a piece called The Quiet Unraveling of the Man Who Almost Killed Trump. And one of the things that came forward was we're seeing some videos. We're hearing his voice. And here's one of them that came out.
Hello. My name is Thomas Crooks. It has always been my passion to create and build things of my own. Today, I want to tell you a little bit about myself and my academic goals, my passion for building things, my love of cooking with my family, and lastly, what I hope to achieve in this course.
So how do you get from being a soft-spoken college kid in 2022, he's at a community college, to a guy that builds bombs and gathers guns and tries to kill Donald Trump? I'll get into that a little bit tomorrow on the show. One more, we'll use Jim Jordan, Congressman Jim Jordan, because the Democrats seemingly once again are taking the side of criminals, of looters, of rapists, and gangbangers. Here's Congressman Jim Jordan.
Yeah, the left's position is don't arrest the bad guys and send them back to their country. Don't do that. Don't deport the bad guys. Let them stay here. And oh, by the way, in addition to that, let them riot and cause all kinds of problems in L.A. That makes no sense.
Congratulations, Democrats. You've done it again. We'll talk tomorrow at 3. Have a great night.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.